Amen. Thank you, Teresa. And amen. May we continue to honor God in all things. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. I'd like to take some time this morning to speak on the thought of becoming missional. Becoming missional. Now, you won't find that in the dictionary, but I didn't make it up either. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to His Word. Once again, Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for who you are, for what you have done. We thank you, God, that you are in this place today. We pray now in the name of Jesus that you would just take complete control of us. Give words this morning to this speaker. Give us all ears to hear what your word and what your spirit is saying to this church today. Remove every distraction, we pray, in the name of Jesus, that we might clearly hear from you. And God will not fail to give you all the honor and glory and praise for the eternal work that you do in our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. If someone asks you, what are you as far as a church? What are you all about? What is the Norwich Assembly of God all about? What would be your response? And just think of that for a minute, because I think for some people, maybe for a lot of us, if someone asked us what the Norwich Assembly of God was all about, our response would be, well, we're a church. Stating the obvious. And then maybe we'd go into a little bit more of a definition. Well, as a church, you know, our responsibility is to worship God and to encourage one another and to evangelize. In fact, that's something that we mention from time to time. It's in our bulletin. You know, what we are, what our purpose is as far as a church. We see it up on the announcements. We're here to experience Christ, His power and His might when we come together. We're here. We have a responsibility to one another, to love each other. And we have a mandate from God to reach Norwich. But those things, what we are as a church, our purpose and our vision should be more than just things that we read. You know, anyone can read that. I can get someone off the street to read that. And he can read it and maybe read it better than I read it. It won't make much of an impact to him. We have a mission from God. And yes, we are to experience Christ. Bless God for not only the duty that we have to spend time in communion with the Lord Jesus through prayer, through praise and worship, but the privilege that we have to commune with God. What better place is there than to be in the presence of Almighty God? What a wonderful worship service we had this morning. But bless God, in heaven, it's going to be better. And it's never going to end. As good as it might get here, in heaven, it's going to last for eternity. It's great. It's a privilege that we have to spend time in communion with Jesus. Life's problems seem so much smaller when we're with God, don't they? We look at them through God's eyes. And when they're in God's hands, they're as small as they truly are to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have that privilege. And we have an obligation to love one another. Now, those of you who have brothers and sisters, How many of you got along all the time with your brothers and sisters growing up? Raise your hand. I was waiting for some smart aleck to raise their hand. I would have challenged them. You didn't. No two people get along all the time. But how many of you love, especially if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, how many of you love your brother and your sister, although there were times you didn't get along with them? You care for them deeply, one hand, many hands. You care for them. Why? Because they're your brother, they're your sister. You're supposed to love them. And so it is with us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to love one another because we are literally blood. The blood that covers your life and your life and your life and your life covers mine. We're all one family. We have an obligation to love one another. But we have a mission from God to reach the lost. There is one commission given by Jesus in Scripture, stated several different ways, but found for us here in our text this morning, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Words of Jesus. Not just to the 12. These are eternal words that God chose to preserve eternally in His Word, that disciples today would hear and would act upon them. You know, we talk about the fivefold ministry. We talk about prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher, and also apostle. And believe it or not, all of us, in some sense, are apostles. Literally, what an apostle means, what it comes from the Greek word apostolos, it means one who is sent. One who is sent, or one who has a mission. And all of us, although we might not be an apostle as far as that office, that spiritual office, all of us are apostles in that we've been sent to make disciples of all nations. And this has to be something. This all-important part of our vision. The great, what is known as the Great Commission, it needs to be something more than something we just read. It has to be something that is a part of us. It has to be more than something that just rests upon our mind. It has to get into our hearts. It has to get into our soul, our spirit. It has to move us to a place of action. Not just knowing that we have a mission, but acting on it. It's the only way for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to please God, and also to receive that sense of purpose. I've got purpose in His kingdom and fulfillment that comes through living a life of obedience. This morning I'm going to take some time to talk about the importance of being missional, or a person of mission. Because when we are missional, we know what we are all about as a church, and also how to go about accomplishing it. What is our mission? What does it mean to be missional? Well, someone who's on a mission, of course, you know, we think of missionaries, but a mission, it can be a purely secular word in that it means someone being given a specific task. And they have this task that they must accomplish. A mission is not something that is light or frivolous. It's something that's serious. It's something that's important. When you give someone a mission, There is the understanding that that person is to take that serious. Because it is very important in the case of the military, and more so the case of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're part of God's army. It's a matter of life and of death. And as God's soldiers, when we receive a commission from God, when we receive a mission from Him, it's not something that's optional. It's something that we are compelled to do. We must do because it is His will. We are His people. There are many aspects to our mission. You know, when we think of this mission, when we think of the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples. Generally speaking, at least if you're like me, we think of it in the broadest of sense. We're called to reach people, the lost, everyone. Everywhere needs to hear about Jesus, needs to come to that place of salvation. And it's true. There's not one person who does not need to know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them. Without Jesus, there is no hope. But if they give their lives to Christ, they'll receive life brand new. Life eternal. But the call of God, the mission that we receive from Christ, if you're to truly be a missional person or a person of mission, you need to understand that this mission is more than just a broad. We need to win everyone, everywhere. But it's something that is often specific. And we know this just from a practical standpoint. There is no way one person can reach everybody. I know today, with the advent of internet now, you know, before it was satellite. Satellite was a big thing, but now internet, people can log on and watch things all over. You know, the thing going out, the revival in Florida, people are watching that all over the world. Whatever's happening, people can see it. But still, one ministry is not enough to reach everyone. Being missional understands that although we're called to reach all people everywhere, as a church and as individuals, God calls us to specific groups of people at specific times. We know this by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus didn't go preaching to Rome, or Pamphylia, or Lystra, or some of these other towns. In fact, when a Gentile, a non-Jewish person came to Jesus to entreat, to ask of Him for ministry, His response was, some may say, callous. Matthew 15, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, that's not saying that Jesus just wants Jews to be saved. Generally speaking, Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Everybody. But while He walked this earth, there was a specific group that He was targeting, that He was ministering to, and that was the Jews. A couple times, the centurion, the Syrophoenician woman, a few others. Gentiles were ministered to, but His specific ministry at that time, at that place, was that of the Jews. The Apostle Paul called to reach the Gentiles. And yes, we're called to reach everyone everywhere, but we can't do it. We need to know specifically whom God has called us to reach. And regarding this specificity, don't ask me to say that again. I'm just going to say that once. Specificity as far as whom to reach. I believe our calling is that of being incidental, but also intentional. And I'll explain what I mean by that. To whom are we sent? To whom are we called to reach? Well, obviously we're called to reach whoever we come in contact with. When you stand before God that day, and the Bible says, is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment, we give an account of ourselves before God. We are going to give an account of how we interacted with those who are around us. You've been sent to your family. God has placed you in your family for a purpose, because God wants to use you to be glorified in your family. You don't believe me? What did Jesus say to Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus confessed his sin and became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? This day salvation has come where? To this house. God wants to use us. I mean, you can't make people in your family get saved, but you are surely required, as I am, to be a light, to be a witness in your family and in your neighborhood. You didn't get in your house or your apartment or wherever you live just by chance. It wasn't dumb luck you ended there. If you're a child of God, you are led by the Spirit. The Lord Jesus led you to that house so that you could be a light and a witness to your neighbors. It's one thing to see people live for Jesus here. You know, everybody praise the Lord, clean mouth, and so on and so forth. But at home, that's the place. That the proof's in the pudding there. Neighbors need to see light in both words and deed. Those are the people God has put in your place, your job, and so on and so forth. And yes, we need to be intentional regarding those people, and in that everyone whom we're in contact with, we need to have a goal in our mind of reaching them, of fulfilling our mission, of sharing with them Jesus, of planting seeds of the Word of God. But that aspect of our mission is somewhat incidental. Well, I'm here with you, so I'm going to share Jesus with you because we just happen to be together. You happen to be in my family. You happen to be in the same building I work. You happen to live next door. You happen to be stuck on this subway with me. But Jesus teaches, and the Great Commission has within it, not only to reach those in our lives who we have incidental contact with, but also to reach those beyond the circle of our lives. We need to be intentional in the fulfilling of this mission to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for very good reason. Because there are more people than just the people who are in the circle of your life who need to know about Jesus. Those people do, beyond the shadow of a doubt. But there are many other people, especially in New England, and I'm homegrown New England, and I know, that don't have a Christian witness in their home, who don't have a Christian witness at their job, who don't have a Christian witness in their neighborhood. In fact, in a great way, our society is largely becoming pagan or ignorant of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done. How will they hear unless a preacher be sent? We need to be intentional. This is brought out in the words of Jesus in Acts' rendition of the Great Commission. Reading Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What is Jesus saying there? You're to witness to those who are near, but you're also to witness to those who are far away. Now, if it was up to the disciples, what do you think would have happened to the church? Where do you think the church would have been located? If it was just purely up to them, outside of any inspiration or burdening from the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be home. I don't want to go to a land, you know. you're going with the Gentiles, and you know there was a lot of issues between Jews and Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't eat the way the Jews did. Gentiles were pagan. They were involved in ungodly things. They were a very immoral people in many of the cities that they left. I just assume stay here. And we'll just let them come here. I think we have kind of that mindset regarding the church. We'll just let them come in. But Jesus wanted to know that yes, they were to reach Jerusalem. The people that they knew and loved and worked closely with. But they were also to go outside their zone of comfort and reach those who were far away. People that they didn't know. But who still needed to hear about Jesus. How will people without Christian acquaintances hear unless we are intentional, about reaching them, about going outside of the circle of our lives and reaching those people who need to hear that Jesus loves them, died for them, rose again, and is desperately willing to come into their lives if they let Him. Of course, this is not something to be done blindly. This is something that we need to do under the leading of the Holy Spirit. But God's will is us to reach people and will lead us to those people that He desires us to touch. Reading Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, an account in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, it's important that we be people who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if we just kind of go along the way we want to in reaching the people that we want to, maybe we're comfortable with, or the like, then we're going to be missing the people who really need to hear about Jesus. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul wasn't being bad or evil, but there were a couple of places he wanted to go. But when he set his heart to go there, the Holy Spirit said no. And then gave him a dream and said, "The people of Macedonia, this is the time for them. They might hear." Being intentional means that we need to be people who follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, which means we need to be people who seek after the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and who live in that infilling in Jesus' name. And we need to be people, if we want to be intentional, not just incidental, I'll just share Jesus wherever I'm at, but intentional in going where God wants us to go and going where the need is, of prayerfully searching the face of God for the direction of God so that we know exactly where we're at, and for another reason that we'll talk about in a little bit later. And then, of course, whether we want to or not, being obedient. Paul laid aside his will and went exactly where God wanted him to go. Now, when we think about this being missional, being a person of mission, fulfilling the Great Commission, normally we think about this in a corporate sense or responsibility of the church. Evangelism is a mission of the church. It's something that we do together. It's something that Jesus commissioned His disciples to do, and they work together. It's something that we need to pray about together. It's something that we need to plan together as a church. And it's something that we need to work together. Listen, If we're going to fulfill that aspect of our vision for this church, it's not just something that one, two, or three people can do themselves. It's something that we're all going to have to get on board at some point or at some level if we're to see God move. Because God doesn't call pastors to do works of the ministry. He calls churches to do the work of the ministry. Pastor included, not excluding myself. But He calls churches or God's people to do the work of the ministry. And so, yes, as a church, we need to become missional. And knowing that we're here not only to glorify God and to love and disciple and care for one another, but to reach and to touch Norwich. And we need to know exactly whom to target in this church body, in this community, excuse me. But we also need to understand that the Great Commission, or the responsibility of being a person of mission, it rests not only upon us as members of a church, but also as individuals. Because God just doesn't call churches, He calls people. Amen? And sometimes a great work is started by the testimony of one. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Many times it was him and one, or maybe just a few others. But through that, great works were started for the kingdom of God. And a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ not only finds his or her place in body ministry, but what God's mission for you is as an individual. Where He wants you to go. Who He would like you to speak to. Sometimes we can be, I know the church is a place that we're to be set free, but sometimes we can be bound by the church. I remember Brad from Seaport was talking in his church how God just got a hold of one lady to reach the Indian people from India and Pakistan. It wasn't something that he even had on his radar at all as far as the ministry of that church. But all it took was God to speak to one. And now there is a ministry to the Indian Pakistani people, many of who are in Groton and also this area as well. Why? Because one person chose to be missional. Or person of mission. I've asked someone to come and to share about their mission. And this person is going to come reluctantly. And I asked this person, their initial thing was, they'd rather not, because what they've done has not been for man, but for ourselves. It's been for God. But I think it speaks great of what a person can do if they just listen to God and act upon how God moves upon them. So, Bill, if you would come and just share with us for a few moments.
Many of you might know I live in Uncasville, and I drive to church and Walmart and other places. When I drive there, I drive right by the casino. And when I drive back and forth, I always see the Chinese people walking to work, you know. Unlike most Americans, we have to drive everywhere we go. I don't care if it's 5 feet or 500 miles. We seem to hop in our car and go, and they always walk. And I remember one night specifically, there was a car accident. One of the Chinese women got hit by a car. Because they're walking the streets all hours of the night. You know, some of them go to work at midnight. They work from like midnight to 8 in the morning. And my heart really kind of went out to them. And during my time of prayer and seeking God in my devotions this last winter, I really just started thinking a lot about them and who's ministering to them. And, you know, it's how many people even speak their language. And it just really started getting, I guess, a love to start to grow in my heart for the Chinese people. And And I'm always trying to see God, and God trying to be obedient. And, you know, God, what do you want me to do? You know, is there anything I can do? And I just thought about, you know, what would have saved that, maybe that lady, if she had some kind of, you know, wearing a safety vest or a light or something maybe. And, you know, I even thought of maybe the town could do more to put lighting, better lighting in sidewalks and stuff for them. But, and I just thought, well, God, what can I do? You know, I came up with this idea, safety vest, you know, like a reflective vest. I thought, well, that'd be good. You know, that would, you know, the cars can see them, and, you know, they can walk with safety and stuff like that. And but then I thought, but I also want to minister to them about Christ. I said, I would like to take the opportunity to do that. But it's like, I don't know how to do that. You know, I had some fears, like I don't know how to speak Chinese. And even if I approach them, try to give them something free, would they say, you know, who are you and what do you want from me? You know, a lot of people were kind of, you know, shy when strangers come up to them. And so I just had this idea that I would, you know, I went on the internet and I started searching, and I wonder how much a safety vest would cost, you know, and I started checking it out, and I realized I could get them pretty inexpensively if I bought a lot of them. And then I thought, well, how can I minister to them? And it's like, God said, well, you know, right when you give them the safety vest, you can just throw a track in there. So I went online and found out that you can get tracks in all kinds of languages. And so I figured 100 would be a good number. So I said, if I can do that, that's a lot. You know, to me, that's 100 people. That's a lot of people. And so I purchased online 100 safety vests, and I found the tracks online, and got 100 of those in Chinese. And it only cost about $300 for 100 of them. I thought that was pretty good. You know, I said, well, God, I can do this. You know, $300, I can do that for you. And then I thought, well, if I give them the vest and then they have Christian track, but how are they going to grow? I mean, how are they going to know more about you and go find a place to grow? And I thought, boy, it'd be kind of nice if there was a Chinese church around. You know, I could refer them to someone who speaks Chinese. And then talking to pastor and calling around a little bit and everything, I found out there actually is one. It was started about a year ago. And at the Norwich Alliance Church, they actually teach English as a second language there, and they've started a Chinese church there. I thought, oh, that's awesome. That's great. So I went over there, and I spoke to them. I actually met some of the Chinese people, and they were very friendly. And when I mentioned this one gentleman who could speak good English, and we talked, and he was like, he was just really blown away that I had a love and a heart for the Chinese people, that I would be willing to do something like this. And I said, well, can you send me information on your church? And I can just throw that right in the package with the vest when I give it to them. He said, yeah. So he sent it to me, and he goes, give me your email address. And he emailed it to me, and I printed them out and just cut them all out and put them all together and made these little packages, like. And then I thought about how I do this. And I got to the point now where it was unstoppable. I'm going to do this, and I really feel God wanted me to do this. And I just went out by myself, and I was thinking of getting anyone else involved in it. I says, no, I'm just going to do this myself, I guess. I guess, God, I just, you put it upon my heart, and I'm just going to do it. And so I got them all together, and I went out, and I did it. I figured the ones that need it most are those that walk at night. So I tried to get the people who work like midnight to 8 o'clock in the morning. And I thought to myself, well, where am I going to give them out? I mean, I see, I kind of watch where they walk. But I don't want to, like, get too close to the casino, and the people there at the casino were my question, like, what are you doing here? You know, what are you giving these people? And I was afraid of, like, security. They might be angry at me. And then I thought, well, I don't speak Chinese, so how am I going to tell them what I'm giving them? You know, they're going to think I'm selling it, and how do they really know what it is because it's in a package? I mean, there's like a picture on the front that shows what it is. And so I came up with the idea, oh, I'll just wear one. You know, so I put one on, and I figured, okay, I waited till the weather got better because more of them walk in the, you know, in the spring and the summer than they do in the winter. So I kind of waited a couple months, wait for the right timing, and I just felt like, okay, God, it's warm enough now. I guess it's time to do it, you know. And so I had them all ready to go, and so I went out there, and I figured out just park kind of the entrance where the streets go heading towards the casino, and I knew there was a couple, like three different locations where they walk, and I said, well, today I'll try this one, and the next, you know, weekend I'll try this one or whatever. And I had to do it on weekends because on a weekday, you know, I'm working. And so early Saturday morning, I got up. Most of the family's still sleeping in, so I really didn't take any time away from the family. So I got up early and went out there with my little box full of these things and drove my van and kind of parked it there and just figured I'd sit in my van, and when they walk by, I'd just kind of come out and try to approach them, be friendly, and give them out. And I was pleasantly surprised. I thought they would be scared of me and everything. And I'm just wearing the vest. And, you know, I've been overseas, so I had a little idea how to talk with nonverbal communication and use what I could, you know. I've been in the Orient and stuff. And so I just approach him with a big smile and just say, hi, good morning. And I said, you know, do you want one? And I show him what I have. It's the same thing, you know. And I show him the vest, and they looked a little reluctant. I can't remember the first person I gave it to. And I said, it's for free, you know. And most people know the word free. You know, you learn that pretty quick. And so next thing you know, almost every single one is accepting it. And they're like, oh, thank you, you know. And they're walking away. And I noticed a couple of them actually took it out and was looking at it. And they saw that the literature was there. And I thought, uh-oh, they're going to see the literature and think that, oh, this is somebody trying to push the religion on me or something, you know. I was worried about that. And then after they looked and they read it, and they kind of read it a little bit, and they turned around and they waved, you know, like, oh, thank you. It's like, it even made it more special, I think, to them that, you know, I was caring for them, not just giving them something, that I was from a Christian organization or someone who was caring about them. Anyways, I did this for about like 3 or 4 weekends and tried different spots. And some people I saw a second time, and they're like, oh, hi, hi, hi. You know, they were like very friendly because they knew me. And then I had one lady who actually ran up to me, and she's like, oh, she's like, I take two. I said, one for husband. I said, okay. So she came out, I gave her, she was so happy, and I said, do you want a third one? Oh, yeah. So I gave her a third one. She was very happy, you know. It's like, and I, you know, I got to tell you, while doing this, I remember one day I was sitting there and I was just, and there's a pause between when there's like changing shifts and stuff. And I'm just sitting in my car and just praying and saying, God, I just pray. I'm just praying over these seeds. You know, I feel like I'm Johnny Appleseed. I'm just out there planting seeds and I just hope that they grow. And I just pray, you know, God, I just pray that they'll find good soil. You know, that even if, and I just had a thought that came to me that I was in heaven. And one of them approached me and said, you know, because of you, I'm here today. And, you know, I just thought, if even one person finds the Lord because of this, it makes it all worth it. The only thing it cost me is about $300, which is like, you know, a couple expensive meals, really, for you and your family, and a little bit of my time. It only took me like 3 or 4 weekends, maybe sitting there for an hour. And I got to tell you, there's no greater joy than that. And I purposely didn't want to tell a lot of people and kind of, I don't want to brag about it or anything like that. I'll just share this with you. You know, to me, I think we're like chess pieces. And God is the one who has the chessboard in front of him. And he knows where to move them best to better to do his work. But he can't move the chess piece if they don't make themselves available. So if we would just simply say, God, I'm available, and he says, I found someone I can use. Now I can move that chess piece to the best place it can be used. You know, I just think if each one of us just makes ourselves available and just seeks God, I think he will direct you to who to minister to. You know, whether it's a little project like this for me, it was like my little mission, you know, or it's the day-to-day people you see walking in front of your office or wherever you are or wherever you go. You know, I think God, if you prayed up every morning and you're ready, he can use you. Mighty way. I remember one day I was driving my car, and this is kind of off the subject, but he used me one morning. I was just driving my car, and this lady was waving behind me. She's driving behind me. I noticed she's been following me for a couple miles, and I was almost near work, and I must have felt like ignoring her. I was like, I got to get to work, you know. But I pulled over. I didn't know, maybe there's somebody in her car that's having a, you know, medical emergency or something. So I pulled over, and she pulled over behind me, and I got on. I said, can I help you? She said, yes. She goes, I noticed the bumper stickers on your back of your car. I said, yeah, they're like Christian bumper stickers, you know. And one that I got from Leanna Corbo talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. And anyway, she pulled me over and she said, I really need prayer right now. I said, oh, great, let's pray. Because I was prayed up, I was ready. You know, like God had me ready. And if you're not ready, you're not going to be as effective. You need to be prayed up and ready each day. And we just prayed a simple prayer. I didn't know what she's going through and she didn't want to tell me. She just said it was something very terrible and tragic. And I said, well, let's just pray right now. And after we got done praying, I said, and you know what? This wasn't by accident. I just want to let you know the reason we met today and, you know, we were able to do this is because God loves you and he cared enough to take care of your needs. And you just remember that. And I just kind of left it with that. But anyways, I'm really looking forward to what God has for me next. I don't know what it is, but whether it's the Chinese people or anyone else, you know, I'm just so thankful. And you'll never be more thankful and get more joy when you give of yourself to others. Thank you.
And a lot of people think, you know, in order to be a person of mission, that you have to be Billy Graham. You have to be in front of crowds or things like that. But it's just a matter of being burdened with some, either one person or group of people, and going after them in Jesus' name. And we won't know. A lot of seed was scattered. And just the law of spiritual averages, 25%. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And if God didn't move upon someone who's not part of the Chinese community, and I'm not, but we have to call what it is, what it is. If God didn't move upon someone not from the Chinese community, he had nothing really to do with them, but to leave to Jerusalem and go to the uttermost parts of the earth, to just, for even for a moment, say that Jesus loves you, would they have had another opportunity? It takes us being intentional. Now, how do we become intentional? And our musicians can come. And, you know, we can think about a lot of things. We can think of creative ways of how to plant seed. You know, what an ingenious way to reach those people who are in that situation of walking. We can practice, you know, what we'll say to people, and there are, and I'm not saying this bad. There are, you know, Evangelism Explosion and other seminars and things how to stir people to a conversation about their eternal soul and about Christ. There's, of course, the important thing of praying for people. You know, praying that there would be good seed. I think that's a very important. People are involved in a lot of things, and we need to pray that the Holy Spirit is preparing their hearts to receive. We can pray for boldness. Is Peter needed? Before Christ was crucified and received after the Holy Spirit came. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the anointing. But really, to become a missional person, the first thing that we need to pray for is ourselves. And what I mean by that is that we need to pray that God would put upon our heart a vision and a burden for someone. Because we need to have a passion or a burden for those people that God is calling us to minister to. It's not a matter of just knowing, you know, God has called me to reach, you know, Chinese people or Spanish people or older people or youth or whatnot, knowing it here. It's having a burden for it here. We need to have that burden. When I talk about a burden that stays on you no matter where you go, it's always on you. It's easy and it's light, but it never leaves no matter what. We need that burden. We need that burden because you can't pray effectively for someone unless you're burdened for that person. It's a broken heart that God honors. It's a contrite heart that God will not despise. And so before we can truly become that person of intentional mission, we need to pray that God would just overwhelm us with a sense of burden for those people in the name of Jesus or for that person. So we would pray as if it was our own family or our own selves, and that we would hang in there. You know, Bill had a relatively pleasant experience, but the next time, it may not be pleasant. And a lot of people have suffered ridicule, bodily harm, or worse, in order to be intentional, in order to reach people out of the comfort zone of their lives. It's the burden that keeps us persistent and faithful despite adversity. In Jesus' name. It begins with a burden. So we need to pray. We need to pray also for our church. Yes, we've gone through some things. Who doesn't? It's like families. There's no family that doesn't go through things. We all go through things. But then we move on. Because life goes on. lose someone, it's terrible. And I know there's stages of grieving, and I've ministered to people who've lost children and, you know, parents and brothers and sisters and, you know, just gone through painful times. But they had to continue to live. They couldn't let grief overwhelm them. And we've got to do that as a church. It's either move forward or die. So where does it start? It starts, God, burden this church for the lost. Not just people that we live with and we work with, but who have you called us to shine a light, a beacon at in this community? My personal feeling it is because of where we live and in between the two casinos and how they are bringing people in from all over the world. God is bringing the world to our doorstep. But whether or not they'll hear the gospel is whether or not people like you and me recognize the opportunity that we have. We got to pray for a burden for immigrants who are coming in. That God would just give us an unyielding burden for them, that we would begin to pray for them. And as we begin to pray for them, the Holy Spirit will move us to reach out to them. And in our society, you know, our society has basically two types of people, the haves and the have-nots. Who do you think Jesus ministered to as he walked this earth, while he was there ministering to the Jews? It was the have-nots. They asked Jesus, why are you hanging around with all the sinners? The response of Jesus was in Matthew 9:12, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Those who were in sin, those who were sick, those who were distressed, those are the ones Christ went after. Not people like us. When we have Christ, God gets us through things like our sister testified this morning. It's reaching out, reaching down for that person who's struggling and helping him up. And in doing so, you know, the logical mindset is, oh, you know, we'll just bring problems into the church and there'll be too much and they'll overwhelm us. Well, who are we serving? We're serving a living God who sets people free. Makes all things new. Think back in the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel. Who are the 400 later become 600 men? What type of people came to surround David as David was a fugitive? It wasn't the people had everything together, happy families, a lot of money, everything going great. People who are in distress or in debt or discontented, they came around David. But you know what? They didn't stay that way very long. They were transformed from being in debt, discontented, in distress, to being mighty men of God who did great exploits. In the name of Jesus, our God is a transforming God. In the name of Jesus. But it begins by us as individuals, but also us as a church, to have a burden for the broken in our society. Not just token pity. You know, like on television and whatnot, you see, you know, the starving children in different areas. Oh, how terrible that is. Let's go see what the weather is or how the Red Sox are doing. Not that type of thing. I think, oh, horrible things people are going through. God, what can I do? Be your instrument of grace in that person's life, in Jesus' name. What can I do? In the holy name of Jesus, we need to pray. I'd like us all to bow our heads and to close our eyes this morning. The first person I'd like to speak to today is maybe that there's someone here who doesn't personally know Christ as Savior. You know, I've talked about people finding Jesus and what that means. The Bible says we're all sinners. And for you in your life, if you have this persistent feeling of guilt, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life and I feel bad. I wish I could go back and change it. Well, you can't go back and change it, but you can move forward and be forgiven and be made brand new in Jesus. Because He died for all your mistakes and all your failures. And all you need to do is ask Him to come into your life. Confess your sins to Him. Confess Him as Lord. Make Him Lord of your life. And and he'll wash all that sin away in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that. And if you want that this morning, you've been plagued by guilt or you know, your life, you know, you're part of the distressed, broken people, and you've been trying too hard by yourself. You need someone to come in and change it. That someone is Jesus. And all he wants you to do is invite him to come in. Invite him to come into your life. If you'd like to do that this morning, would you slip up your hand? I'd like to pray with you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Secondly, I'd like to speak. Actually, to all of us. Let's all stand this morning. In Jesus' name. And we need to pray for ourselves. I need to pray as your pastor. And I think every one of us, truly being honest with ourselves, we need to pray that God would give us a greater burden for the loss. A greater burden for those incidental contacts that we have, our family and our friends, those people that we come in contact with. We can't take for granted that someone else is going to reach them. God has put you in their life for a reason. Just to let them know. You don't have to save them. Jesus does that. Just let them know Jesus loves them. He died for them. Just share with them the good news, the gospel. That's all you got to do. You plant that seed, God takes it from there. What they do with it, it's between them and God. That's your responsibility. God's going to make us more intentional there. But God has to make us more intentional as a church in the name of Jesus to affect this community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a church, as individuals. So we're going to pray now. Let's bow our hearts together in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much in the holy, holy, holy name of Jesus that at some point in our lives, someone came and told us that you love us and that you died for us and that you want to come into our lives and make us brand new. And this wonderful gift that you have given us, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, it is something that is wonderful that we can live in and we can enjoy, but we also have the mission to share with others in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that you would give us a greater burden for the lost than we've ever had before. God, that we would have a greater burden for those who are in our circle of life. We'd have a greater burden for our families who don't know you as Savior. Our neighbors, oh God. Oh God, that our hearts would burn for them in the name of Jesus, that they would come to know you. Our co-workers, Lord Jesus. God, oh Lord, that we'd just be consumed with the thought of the eternal state of their soul. In Jesus' name. But God, broaden our vision. Let us know that God, we're not only called to affect, Lord, just the circle of our lives and the 20 or 30 or so people that might be in it. But Lord, the hundreds that are beyond that, Lord Jesus. Speak to our church. Burden us, O God, with the brokenhearted, with the weary, with the destitute, with the sick and needy in the name of Jesus. Burden our heart, Lord Jesus, with those from another land who have even no concept of who Jesus is, who've grown up in pagan religions or other godless beliefs. Burden us, O God, so that, God, we might be your intentional instruments of salvation, Lord Jesus, your precious holy name. We ask this in your wonderful name this morning. Amen. 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 As the worship team begins to sing, God may be speaking to hearts this morning. And we invite you to make your way, if God is dealing with your heart this morning, to this altar up front. God is dealing with your heart. Don't leave until God finishes what he has started. Amen. Amen. You believe some things are like this with God, but some things, I think it's more because of us. God needs to do some work on us. If God is prompting your heart, make your way to this altar this morning. And allow God to finish the good work that he has begun in Jesus' name. But join us as we worship God with this song in Jesus' name.